This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markep program, Joe Markep.
I'm on the air.
Yes, sir.
Did you cut off my disclaimer?
No, it continues in the background.
Oh.
See, isn't that cool?
One.
We're pros here.
All right, class. If anybody's not making turkey, getting the stuff ready, pay attention. Write this number down. 888-221-8990. This is toll-free from any place. If you have a dial telephone or a landline, you dial one first. If you have a cell phone, skip the one. 888-221-8990. Back in '04, meaning 2004, Joe Martech, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, said, let's do radio shows. Greg Fasula, attorney, said, why? I said, Greg, because each one of the three of us have different areas of expertise, and we can answer questions for people that the other one doesn't know, and we can do good things for people. And he said, I have to. And I said, yes, Greg, you do. And he said, okay. Now, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't do it exactly that way because Greg happens to be a magnificent person. And then over the years, we added a few more people, Vince Rizzino, CPA, taxes, starting businesses, closing businesses, monster subjects, changes in the tax code, monster subjects. In fact, I met with a young man today who is starting a business and said, you've got to meet with Vince because bookkeeping and how to make sure this thing is structured properly is very important if it's going to be successful. You can actually start a business and fail and not only lose money when the failure, but you can also lose more if you don't structure it properly in taxes. So you have to be careful on how you do such things. So Vince is a critical member. Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor alive. And I'm talking, if she says she's going to call you at 3 in the morning, don't go to sleep because she will. Credibility is monster. Defied the fact she works extremely hard. She's just a magnificent person. That's one of the hardest working, if not the hardest working person I know, which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who works hand in glove with Victoria. And the magic of Mike Paulus is a lot of people, especially first-time buyers, don't know what they can or cannot qualify for. And what Mike can do in 15 minutes is find your credit score and let you know what you can qualify for and your income and your jobs. And if you have a problem with your credit score that you don't qualify, he will explain to you what you need to do to correct that and how long it will take you to correct it so that you can qualify to go out and buy this piece of real estate. So the object of the group, very simply, is to educate you. And in our group, we probably have 200 years worth of combined experience, not including our special guest member, who is the only one here today, who is the retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Alan Love. And with him, we have probably 300 years worth of experience because, I mean, he looks really old. In fact, you are really old, now that I think about it.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Do you know you were talking about Greg Fasula, and he asked you why, and you went through that explanation? Can you imagine if he said sí instead, which is yes in Spanish, you wouldn't have had to gone through that explanation?
And he could have.
Yeah, he could have said sí instead of why. Yeah. Right. But he didn't.
he speaks said, Spanish. Yeah.
He said why instead of sí, so yeah. You had to go through that explanation. It wasted your time, didn't it?
I can't tell you how Greg and I go back maybe 25 years. We don't know, but it's a long, long ways. And just so you understand how I, number one, the most important thing in our group is the word integrity. Integrity, big word. Let's do the right thing for people under every circumstance. Under no circumstances do we not do the right thing. We listen to people and find out what is in their best interest. Now, Greg's an attorney, and he gets paid for his time. Not everybody gets paid for his time. You know, different jobs have different commissions and different ways they go. Greg, years ago, I would meet a new prospect or suspect, and one of the first things I would do is talk about a will or a trust, if they had such a thing. If they did not, I felt somewhat of a responsibility to put the cart and the horse in the proper order, and I suggested strongly that they do such a thing, and they'd say, okay, Joe, we don't know much about it, and then I would give them my bit of experience and knowledge, and then I'd say, you've got to have an attorney to do this, and they'd say, well, which attorney? And I said, I don't know, but I'll go shop an attorney nearby where you live. I'll interview him, and I'll come back to you, and I'll go with you. Well, invariably, and not every time, I'd take him into this attorney, and this guy who was nice to me when I was interviewing him, he'd become pretentious and arrogant, and oftentimes, in my not-too-humble opinion, he would charge an exorbitant fee, which really upset me. But then I met Greg, same scenario because somebody lived nearby him, and Greg was a good listener, nice guy. Okay. Then I'd go with my client to meet him, and Greg listened to them, understood, was not pretentious, was not arrogant, not pompous. And then last but not least, he was extremely fair, extremely fair. I mean, Greg's not driving a Rolls Royce and doesn't have the airplane. He does not take advantage of people financially. And in fact, he's gone out of his way to help people that really could not afford what I'm going to call a decent fare. He just happens to be one of the better people alive. Even if politically we don't agree on everything, Alan, you've noticed that.
Right.
But I love the man. He's just one of the better people I know.
Yeah.
So the concept is, again, we're here to answer questions, here to help you, and the only two here today are Alan Love, retired attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. And then Alan was entertaining today, though. We had fun this morning because I do another radio show. Some of you know it's called on WPSL, 1590 AM, every Wednesday at 11 AM till 12. But today it's only a half an hour show because they do what's called Christmas Kids for 4 weeks, and they raise some money for underprivileged children, and they do a great job. So we give up half of our show. So I'm on the radio, and Alan's not there, just my producer and myself. And about two-thirds of the way through, halfway through the show, maybe a third of the way through the show, I don't remember how long.
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes, close enough. I knew we have a mathematician over here that keeps track of this stuff called Alan. The receptionist, who's one of the sweetest ladies alive, comes in, and she's kind of crestfallen. She goes, hurry up. Alan's on the ground. He can't get up. He fell. And I said, okay. So our producer quick goes to a commercial or something, and I go out there, and here's Cliff Desmond, who's got a walker, which Alan has a walker. Both of these guys move at a snail's pace. And here's Cliff going to help Alan get up, and I'm looking, boy, this is going to be wonderful. Cliff's going to fall on Alan, and I'm going to have to peel him off of Alan to help get Alan up. And Cliff weighs a good 50 to 80 pounds more than Alan. And the first thing Alan said was out there was, I'm not hurt. I said, okay, good. So now I can pick on him about laying there. And I said, how long you want to lay here? You want to ruin the whole show?
I'll lay it out here until you take that
call. I'm going to take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Well, good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon.
I had a question in regards to real estate. I know you have a small crew there today, it sounds like.
Well, I got Alan Love. Now, he's not the biggest guy in the world, so he's pretty small.
Okay. Again, I don't think I've called in before and asked you questions, but this one is, if I inherit a house and I sell it, what am I liable for tax-wise?
You're going to like this. So you inherited it, right? It was not in your name. It was in your mom's name.
Yep.
And mom died.
Yep.
Now, what was the value of that house on the day she died? Give or take. Just give a guess.
$140,000.
And what did you sell it for?
I haven't sold it yet.
So how much do you think you're going to sell it for?
Well, I'm wanting to get rid of it rather quickly since it's 2.5 hours away. And I don't have a lot of time to go and fix it up. I was going to sell it as is, and I had an offer for about $96,000.
How much?
$96,000.
Okay. So what happens is you actually have no tax consequence whatsoever because the way the law works, the day your mom died, that establishes the value of the house on that day. You inherited that house, and it was worth $140,000. If you sold it, let's say 6 months later for $200,000, the difference between $140,000 and $200,000 would be a taxable event. But because you're selling it for less than the value on the day she died, you have no tax consequence.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that a wonderful problem?
Yes.
Now, I want you to stay with this thought because this is a thing we can counsel people. Numerous times I've had parents say, I'm going to put my child on my house because they think they're doing the kid a favor. And then 5 years later, they die. Now, the child now owns that house, and they want to sell it. Well, their cost basis, meaning what is the difference between what mom paid for it and the sales price today, goes all the way back to when mom bought it. So let's say mom paid $50,000 for it 20 years ago, and now they sell it for $200,000. They have a $150,000 taxable event. But if they inherited the house, and it was worth $150,000 on the day mom died, and they sold it for $150,000, there's no tax.
I see.
So you got to remember this to help counsel people from time to time when they say, "I'm going to add a child to the house," and say, "Do not put it in a trust." Do whatever you want, and you also create another problem by putting the child on a house. You possibly can lose your homestead exemption because if you're an owner of the house and you don't live in it, you can't have a homestead. So let's say this child lives in New York and mom's down here and she wants to claim it as a homestead. That can be a problem. And if the child in New York gets sued, mom's house could be gone, because it's not protected under Florida law because it's not a homestead. So there's lots of reasons not to put a child on your primary residence or any residence or any property in a will or a trust that will leave it to them, and the tax consequences are usually very, very favorable.
Oh, don't even leave the house in a will, you're saying?
No, leave it in a will or in a trust, because then here comes again. Mom dies, she leaves you the house in a will. You then inherit the house and you sell it for what it's worth on the day mom died, there's no tax. You sell it for less than it was worth on the day mom died, no tax. You sell it for more than it was worth on the day mom died, you pay tax on the difference between what it was worth on the day she died, and let's say you held it for 2 or 3 years and you rented it out, you're creating more tax consequence. But if you inherited the house and you didn't rent it and you just sold it for what it was worth on the day mom died or less, there's no tax.
Wonderful. Well, that seems to be the my case then.
Hey, good. You know, listen, and you're going to sell it quickly, and you don't have to have the burden and worry about getting it set up and stuff. And I understand that. You know, it's sometimes just not worth it for when you figure out your time might be worth more than $5 an hour. Maybe not, but it might be.
Exactly right. Well, I do appreciate your time in the middle.
Hey, good talking to you again, and I do remember your call. So I won't go into all the other family dynamics, but good luck.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Bye. You know, some people, you remember their voices. Do you remember him from before?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go into the family dynamics, but anyway, we walked through some circumstances there. 1-888-221-8990. So anyway, I go down out and I peel Alan off the ground, and he landed on gravel, but he didn't land on his head, so there's no pockmarks on his head from the gravel.
Oh, that's great.
And he landed on his rear end, which has got some padding, so that absorbed a lot of the pockmarks from the gravel, right?
Right, but in all seriousness, I know how to fall, and I had my right hand on the door handle of the car, and I just eased myself down, and about 5 inches or so off the ground, I just released my hand and just lightly hit the ground. No injury, no nothing, but my shoe got out of whack. But thank you Joe for picking me up, otherwise I might still be in the parking lot.
Well, I was considering leaving you there, you know, because you were interrupting a radio show, but I had two people that were saying you can't leave them there, Joe, and I said, really? I said, and I forgot to, you know, if I had some time, I could have got $20 out of Alan, I think, to pick him up. But it was too late. After I got him up, he wasn't willing to give me anything.
You know, you actually did me a favor, because maybe I'm going to come out of retirement because of the fact that I got a call from WPSL this afternoon. Three gravel companies want me to come and work in their gravel pit for them.
Well,
a new career.
What we loved is when the owners of the station came in, and I said to Carol, which is the wife of, she owns the place, and Greg gets to work for her. That's the husband. Anyway, I said, Carol, why'd you put molasses down on the parking lot to make it slippery next to Alan's car? And she kind of got that look in her eye. Poor Carol. She panics right away. I said, you know, Alan's an attorney, and he's thinking about suing you guys. And poor Carol.
She got a little...
Anyway,
yeah.
they kind of both hovered over you for a little while to check for pockmarks.
Well, to me it reminded me of when I was a kid sliding into second base.
Yeah,
that's about all that happened. Go.
Well, he also said it was a 3.4 second fall. Now, those of us that know Alan knows he's very mathematical, so he probably counted from the time he slipped
precise
and how long before his arm stretched all the way out, how long it took him to get to the ground.
I'm just sorry, Alan, that you got a rocky start this morning.
Oh, you're very good today, bro.
Oh, you've been saving that one up. That's very good. That's very good.
We've done that for an hour.
1-888-221-8990. So if you have any questions to do, especially today, here's a subject that we got two subjects I want to talk about. One, Pastor Dave brought up about the market. The market's been in a flux. And what happened is, if you read the newspapers or watch TV and you hear all of this stuff, the media is full, and they love bad news. They don't like good news. They love bad news. You hear very little about this is one of the strongest economies ever. Very little about everybody's working that wants a job. Martin County's unemployment rate now is down to 3%, which the nationwide is 3.7, which is almost unheard of. 5% is, by most people's estimates, is considered full employment, and we're below what's considered full employment. So everybody that pretty much wants a job has got a job today. Now, maybe you don't like the job you've got, but the reality is this. A lot of people have gone from a job that was subsistence to a better job because they're headhunting today. They're looking, companies are looking to hire people and they're willing to pay more money than they were in the height of the recession. Nothing new there. But what happened is the market has done extremely well in the last year and a half. By most estimates, it's up over 30%, different gauges. But what happens when the market does too well for too long, invariably a word that is, it makes no sense to anybody, called a correction will come in. And I usually say that the big guys run off the little guys by starting a sale, and they create panic to speak of, even though this never got all the way to panic, and they force people out. And normally it's the little guys, not the sophisticated investors, because the most sophisticated investors, and using Warren Buffett, Oracle of Omaha, multi-billionaire, his philosophy is very simple. When everybody's happy, don't buy. Sell. When everybody's sad, upset, time to buy. So it's the reverse of what the average person does. And literally right now, companies are buying their own stock back at a bargain, then they'll sell it later on and make a profit on the sale of that, not only their product, but that. So here's the basic rule of the market. Now, again, nothing is 100%. If a company is making money, profits, their value goes up. Now, oftentimes when they're making profits, they expand. They add new stores, new facilities, new employees. And each time they do, they're creating more of a base because that real estate they're buying and that machinery they're buying becomes part of their assets. So the value of this company goes up. And as they sell more product, they need more people, which causes a better employment situation. And literally what will happen is that the people at the bottom of the thing get better pays because they have to pay more to get them. But the whole concept is that's what's been happening, and it's been working phenomenally well. I love these soothsayers, Alan. I'm listening just before we came into CNBC. Some of the soothsayers say, well, you know, we've had like a 3.5% gross domestic product quarter, and we've had a 4%. We've had a 3%. They're going to say, oh, yeah, well, next year is going to be 1.8. Well, where's that coming from? We don't know. Then there's other ones that say, hey, there's not one reason in the world for 2019 to be any worse than 2018. And in fact, it might be better because the groundwork has been laid. So why do people have opinions? Because they can. Are they all right? Well, you know, there's no such thing as somebody that's wrong always. So if I tell you the market's going to go down, it will. Now, when is the question? $64,000 question. We call them market timers. People that know when the market's going to go up and the market's going to go down. Every market timer that Alan and I have known, we've both been in the business and securities for years and years and years, all of a sudden they're not market timing anymore.
Right, but Joe, you know, a lot of our listeners, they're not in the market day to day, but you have a wonderful investment that takes advantage of the market but also protects assets, the variable annuity. Why don't you talk about that for a couple
of minutes? Well, and that was a nice thing you brought that up, because I was talking to a client of mine this week who has this vehicle. Now, let me just give you, first of all, an annuity is a contract with an insurance company. Why do I have it? Well, number one, if I don't touch it, it's tax deferred, meaning I don't pay any taxes on the gain or anything until I take money out. When I take it out, it's ordinary income, no other form of tax. I get sued, it can't be taken away from me. And last but not least, when I die, it's not subject to probate. So now I have this investment called this annuity. Now, inside of most of these variable annuities, they have all kinds of different funds, F-U-N-D-S, that look just like mutual funds, but we're not supposed to call them that because it's an annuity contract, so they have different words for them. But they look and smell just like them, and quite honestly, they're managed by the same people. And last year, if we had the S&P 500 as an example, it went up around 20%. So here was this client of mine that called me up this week, all in a panic because the market's going down. Doesn't have a statement in front of her, but she's all upset. Joe, you told me that, you told me this. And I said, okay, what did I tell you? Well, I don't remember exactly. But all of a sudden, the market's in trouble. How am I doing? Okay, well, here's the three traveling parts in this particular contract. One, you're in the market. Market goes up 20%, you go up 20%. Market goes down 20%, you go down 20%. Nobody wants to go down. Nobody wants to go down. So what happens is the insurance company comes in, and by the way, you're supposed to know who the insurance company is and what their claims paying ability is. That's what my compliance people tell me I have to say. So the insurance company says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a death benefit on this that is what you put in, or if you qualify, what you put in plus a minimum growth of 5% a year, or if you qualify, the highest quarterly average, the highest quarter. So let's say we put in this $100,000, and it doesn't need to be 100. It can be as little as 10 under most circumstances. And let's say one quarter goes up to 150 on that quarter. Well, it locks that number in. And then you die the next week and the market collapses and down to 120, well, your family would get 150. So what it does, it makes your family very happy if you die when the market's down, because the money's protected at the high number. So it's either 5% or the highest quarter or the market value, whichever is the best. So back again, I put this 100 in, now it's worth 150, and that's more than 5% and more than it was under the highest quarter. Your family gets 150. So what you're doing, you're protecting your spouse or your children or whoever you want with that benefit. But then the average person says, Joe, I don't like that. I have to die. And I said, well, forget the have to. You're going to anyway. Well, yeah, but I'm not in an anxious. What about me? What if I don't die? I said, okay, well, what? Sometimes you back again to qualifying for it. And that's not hard to qualify. You just have to be the right age. Insurance company says, here's what we'll do. Whatever you put in, depending on your age, we, the company, will give you a 5% income on that for the rest of your life. So let's put $100,000 in. You're not going to get a check for $5,000 a year, or you could get it monthly or quarterly, but it's 5%. And then once a year on the anniversary, if the market goes up, they'll reset it up. So let's use that same example. Market goes from 100 to 150. Reset. 5% on 100 is 5,000. 5% on 150 is 7,500. So now it's reset at 7,500. So last year you made $5,000. This year you get 7,500. But the next year the market collapses and goes down to 50,000. You stay at the $7,500 a year. You stay. So the way the insurance company does, they are taking the risk, as I see it, to protect you. Now, what's the negatives? Now, you know, this is something you don't hear many people talk about, negatives, but everything has a negative. There's no such thing as everything is good. There's two or three negatives. One, I need to get paid. Can you imagine that? Nobody wants to pay anybody. But with an annuity contract, they hold no money out for commissions, fees, or expenses. All your money goes to work for you the first day. But most companies have what they call a penalty if you decide to take all the money out for a period of time. So the usual period of time is around 7 years. And the usual penalty starts off at 8% or 8.5% the first year and goes down each year until after 7 years, there's no penalty. In the meantime, if you die during that 7 years, there's no penalty to your heirs. Isn't that exciting? Mm. You're dead now, and guess what? Your family's happy. They got rid of you, and they got that Maserati, and all good news. On the other hand, you don't die. Joe, I can take this income immediately, right? No penalty. Yes, you can. Immediately starting the first month, you can start taking checks. And I have people that do, and they need the income. And they say, okay, fine. But what if I need more? Well, the companies have a contract that says you can take out all the earnings without a penalty or as much as 10% a year. So last year, here's these people making 20 and 25% that we had. I had people take out a chunk of change because they made a chunk of change. It lowered their guarantee back down to sometimes what they started with, but they got to put 20 grand in their pocket. Hallelujah, were they happy. No kidding. I've got, anyway, the whole concept is when you're not too young, meaning Alan's age, of course, no, Alan looks like he died a long time ago. Forget that part. When you're old, you're in your 60s, 70s.
Loves you, Joe. It's good he loves you.
I know. Now, he doesn't look that, well, yes, he does. But never mind. We're not going to talk about Alan. because I saved his life. Well, you know, I didn't save. I guess I could have saved your life when I think about it, because if nobody else had picked you up after a week or so, you'd be in pretty bad shape.
I think I would have put my trust in the Lord, and I would have been fine, and I am fine.
You had a cell phone in your pocket, didn't you?
Yes.
See?
Yeah. He was never without.
He was never without. You know. Okay. I would have. I might have absconded with your phone today for the right price, though. You know. Anyway, the concept of that is, one, there's penalties. Number two, insurance companies don't work for free. Can you imagine that? Hmm. I mean, they're going to make a profit. Now, I can't tell you exactly what it is, because each contract is a little different. It depends on what happens. But let's just take a general figure. Roughly 3% a year the insurance company makes. What's that mean? That means if you didn't have an insurance company involved and you put in 100 and now it went up to 150, it probably would have gone up 3% higher if there hadn't have been an insurance company involved. So they're going to take money out of the market value, not out of the guarantees. Now, understand what I'm telling you now is generalities. Does this work for everybody? No. Is this for young people? Under normal circumstances, no. It normally works extremely well for people that are afraid and they want to protect their money, but they want to know for sure that they have income for life, and they want to know for sure that when they die, that their family is going to get some money. There's lots and lots of different programs out there. Here's something that we almost never talk about. Very often, if you retire from a company, you'll go meet the HR people and say, okay, fine, I've got so much money in my 401k or retirement plan, what's my options? They'll say, okay, well, the first option is you're going to get a check every month for $1,000 for the rest of your life. And the next question is, well, what happens when I die? Nobody gets a dime. So wait a minute. So if I retire today, I take one check next month, and I die the next month, what happens? Nobody gets a dime. Well, that's not what you call the favorite choice. So a lot of times people say, well, wait a minute, I've got a wife. I want to make sure she's taken care of. Okay, fine. And what we'll do, instead of giving you $1,000 a month, we'll give you $800 or $900. And then if you die, then your wife would keep getting that $800 or $900 or a lesser amount. It's all based on how old somebody is, how much money's involved. There's a formula for the whole thing, and it's all done. And then they'll say, well, what happens if we both die? Well, money's gone. Well, okay, are there any other wrinkles? Yeah, you can add a 10-year certain to some of these things. Not all of them. Meaning what? You're going to get a check every month for the rest of your life, but for at least 10 years. So in case you both die in 1 year, that check would keep going to somebody. There's wrinkles that you can add to this. None of these things are easy when we're talking about them right now, but understand this. My job is to educate you to become a smarter consumer and to protect your money the best you can, and to make sure your goal, whatever that might be, is achieved, if we can achieve it. If we can achieve it. As some people say, gee, I have no money, Joe, and I need a big income from retirement. What do I do? And I said, you're a bag lady. You know, you're pushing that cart because you don't have any money. You made a mistake. You didn't save money. Didn't put it into a 401k, didn't save it. And of course, I'm kidding about, no, I'm not really. You move in with your daughter. My daughter hates me. I say, well, she's going to not like you much either when you move in. But, you know, what are your choices? So you got to think about all of these not too good options. My job is to stir the pot and to make sure you understand what your options are. And then you make a decision. My job is to educate. And everybody in our group, including our guest, Alan, is here to educate you to become a better consumer. And I hope, Alan, I answered your question sufficiently.
Well, you did, but there's also one other disadvantage that isn't out there. It's a hidden disadvantage, and it's the I word, inflation. And here's the example that I'll use. You've got started with $100,000. You're up at $150,000. You're getting $7,500 a year.
Right.
Market collapses. The value of your annuity goes down to $50,000.
Right.
You're going to stay at that $7,500 mark until the market value goes above $150,000.
Then it resets.
And it resets. But sometimes it'll take 10 to 20 years to do that. So if it takes, say, 20 years to get over that 150,000, either that or that $7,500 income is worth far less in buying power because of inflation.
Well, how do you cure this problem then?
You tell me.
You can't. The key thing is this. If you can go to the bank and make your 1% or 2%. I mean, let's just do this. So let's take this $150,000 at 2% is, what, $3,000 a year instead of $7,500?
Right.
Okay. You're good. You're liquid. Your money's there. Basically, you are breaking even with inflation under normal circumstances. What Alan was using as an example is 10 or 20 years. I don't know that the S&P, now I'd have to sit down and do it, but if we use the S&P 500, which is 500 of America's biggest companies, there's two or three major indexes that most of us hear about every day. One is the Dow, which is 30 companies. The S&P 500 is 500 companies. The S&P 500, they use that as, quote, the benchmark, and they use that to compare everything else. But if we use that for the last 30 or 40 years, it's averaged between 8 and 10% a year now for 30 to 40 years.
But there have been, one time was from the 30s to the 50s. It took the market 20 years to go from the bottom back to its previous high.
So let's go back.
And in the 70s.
Let's go back. And that, it didn't take us, the 30s to the 50s obviously was the Great Depression.
Right.
But it just wiped out the market. It wiped out everything.
In the 60s and 70s, you had stagflation.
Well, however, we didn't have 20 years worth of no performance.
No, but even 10 years, even 8 years is going to eat up.
But 10 years is better than 20 or 30.
Oh, sure.
Especially when you're not so young.
And in the last Great Recession, it only took about 3.5 years.
There you go. So here's the thing that we have when we get old. One, if we don't die, we may have a problem. If we're stuck living to be 100, we may have a problem. And I joke with my clients, and they'll ask me, well, Joe, what if I run out of money? I says, well, you're a bag lady, or you move in with your kids. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, I don't want you to do that either. So here's my job, is to try to make sure you have enough money coming in the door. And sometimes we can't. Sometimes you have to move in with your kids. You have no choice if you don't have enough income. Are your kids happy about it? Maybe, maybe not. But regardless, I don't care what you do, or you change your lifestyle so dramatically that you're not living at the lifestyle you were used to. I mean, we all know people that are living on just Social Security, and you can get by. You're not going to live large. You're going to live tight. You're not eating Chateaubriand every night. You're not living high. I had a wealthy guy say the difference between a rich person and a poor person is very little. It's the cut of the cow. The rich person eats the best cut and pays 15, 20 bucks a pound. The poor person eats the worst cut, but it's still the same dead cow. Well, okay, there's some, you know, we eat, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Is one taste better? Maybe. Can we afford to go to restaurants? Maybe. Do we have to cook at home instead? Maybe. Point I'm trying to say is, thank you, Lord, we're in America. Amen. And it is Thanksgiving tomorrow, and I've thanking him all day long, and I'll be thanking him every day for the rest of my life. Especially when I ate some peanuts in the car, and they're still
floating around.
I'm shelling them myself and driving down the street, you know, making a mess in the car, but I can clean that up.
At least you weren't texting.
Huh?
At least you weren't texting.
I wasn't texting. I was eating peanuts. 1-888-221-8990. There's another thing that people should consider, and I listened to this today, and that's if you have a 401k, 403b, any type of retirement plan at work, and the company matches, I 1,000% believe you should match and put every dime in there that they match. So let's say that you make $50,000 a year and they match 3%. That's $1,500. You put $1,500 in. At the end of 1 year, you have $3,000. That's 100% growth in 1 year. You can't get 100%, but on these 401ks, 403bs, or retirement plans that match, you can. So no matter what happens, I recommend solidly that everybody should put in whatever the match is. We'll take another call here. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, this is Todd Lindrow.
Hey, Todd, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, sir. I was sitting there listening to you thanking God about all the things that's happened, and I have to thank God for you. I got a statement, I guess last month. I'm just so blessed that God's given me what I've got, and you've helped increase that so I can increase my giving.
Yep. You know what happens, Todd? Thank you, Lord, for you and for me and for a bunch of people. We're blessed people. You know that. And the key thing, yeah. Todd has the instrument we were talking about that protects his money no matter what. And the object is that, you know, when we're not so young and Todd is not getting any younger than like anybody else, we have to be concerned about when we can't work anymore. And we got to start saving money for this inevitable day. If we don't die, and we're, I mean, just imagine getting as old as Alan here and you can't work anymore. I'm picking on Alan here, Todd.
I see this.
So all I'm
one of these days I have to meet him because he sounds like a wonderful man.
You know what it is? I know where you work and I know your hours. Sometimes you have to come by because you know the radio shows every Wednesday from 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Come in here and sit and meet everybody and introduce. And I don't care if you come in grubby from work because that's what you do. You know, I've sat with you before. You don't stink that bad.
Todd, after a comment like that, do you think he really deserves to be wished a happy Thanksgiving?
He's talking about me, Todd, not you. All I know is Todd's a hard-working guy, and he happens to get dirty when he's working. But I will tell you, Todd, you're a good man. You got you're a good heart. You do good things for people. God's watching out for you, and it's a treat for me to know you.
Yes, me too. And like I said, when you were thinking everything about what was going on with you, I'm going, you know, something he needs to understand. He's a Thanksgiving to other people also. So. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you and God bless you.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks very much. Hey, listen, where do I mail the check? Thanks, Todd.
The first of next month, I have a check I have to mail to you.
Okay.
I'll bring it by either way.
Yeah, bring it by. In fact, you might want to remember. I'm serious about you coming by the radio station. You know, you could meet Alan and the other people because you might get a charge out of sitting in on a show once in a while.
Absolutely.
All right, Todd.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Joe, you talk an awful lot about helping people, but the most wonderful thing is when one of your clients calls up and says thank you to you for that.
Well, it makes my heart feel good. It really does. Let me take another call. Hopefully this is another happy client. Caller's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm on my Bluetooth, so I'm driving safely.
Okay.
But I have a really quick question. I'm just kind of curious because I hear you talking about the 401k plan,
right?
And so forth. I'm just 51, so I'm hoping that I can live till 90 and keep putting into the 401.
Good.
But my question is, and I'm really not that educated on any of this. Actually, but when I do retire and I start receiving funds from my 401k plan,
right?
Like you had mentioned or gave an example, I get my first check and then I drop it in the next check. The balance, would that go directly to the beneficiary?
Depends. You see, here's what happens. You have to be very careful when it comes to this time what your options are. Sometimes there's an option that says you can get a very large check every month, but you drop dead and nobody gets anything. Sometimes you can roll it away from the company and put it into your own account. And that was what Alan was talking about with the annuity contract that has the guarantees that protect your beneficiary, your children, your spouse, and also protects you. There's choices. The thing that happens is you've got some time to get educated, but this is what our goal is here, is to try to fill you in on the blanks. And when you get bored with your job, call your HR people and say, hey, if I were to retire today, what are my options with my 401k? And just they'll give it to you in writing. And then when you get it, if you don't understand it, you call me back and I'll explain it to you.
That'll be a while, I hope.
Well, you can get it at any time, even if you're working still. It's an education process. They'll give it to you now, even though you're not going to retire for 10 or 20 years. But it'll show right. you what your options are. And there comes the magic thing, getting educated ahead of time. So you not only can you help yourself, but other people that might be coming down the road, because the better educated you are, the more you can help other people.
Oh, okay, I see. All right, I was just a little worried because I'm like, what happens to the balance?
Well, today, if you decided to die, your family's going to get all the money because you have because you have name beneficiary. Don't have a car wreck while you're driving; it's embarrassing. Anyway. All it amounts to is that today, when you're not taking money out, you haven't done up and set up a pension or anything, that's all your money. There might be some that's not vested, that the employer says is not vested, but your beneficiary is going to receive the money if you have named beneficiaries, which you almost always do. That's important, and I'm sure you do. Most employers make sure you name beneficiaries, and they that's their money when you die, and all they have to do is show that you're not around anymore, which is a death certificate, and they get the money.
I see. But when you do receive money from your pension for a while, whatever balance there is, there's a possibility that your beneficiaries will not get it.
There's a possibility. Now, here comes the magic numbers. You got to ask that question of the HR people, what are my options? One of the options is you roll it away from the employer and put it into your own plan, which gives you more options. If you stay with the employer plan, we don't know what the options are, so it's a good thing to now ask them, assuming I retired now and I was 65 or 70, what are my options? You know, even if you don't, even though you're not old enough, it's education. It doesn't hurt you to know that stuff now.
Very interesting. Great. Thank you so much for that.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for calling
in. I appreciate it. Uh-huh. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
Same to you.
Yeah, it's a situation that a lot of people put off getting educated. And there's no reason, because it doesn't cost a nickel. That HR person, that's their job, is to educate the employers, right. the employees. To help them make an intelligent decision. I've had people that leave one employer and they roll that plan out of one employer to another employer, or they roll it into their own account. They look at the options, you know, on what they're going to get. So the whole concept is the more information you have and understand, the better decision you can normally make and how it affects you directly. Okay, Alan, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask, you have many clients where they just have money in the bank.
Sure.
And let's say a client gets into an accident, a serious illness, and wants to set up an annuity contract where if he makes it through surgery or something, he's going to live a long time. If not, family's going to get the money. How long does it take for an annuity contract to actually take hold?
How long does it take hold?
Yeah.
Immediately. You write it, you pay, you find it immediately.
Okay. Let's talk after this call.
Let's take a call.
Yeah.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, Joe. My name is Ray. I am talking about being naive about being educated. I just recently retired. Our house is paid for, and recently bought my wife a fairly new car. But there were a couple of things that I didn't realize. I worked for a local utility almost all my life, and my insurance for me and my family before I went on Medicare was somewhere around $270 a month.
Right.
Actually, it was just for me and my wife.
I understand.
Well, once I went on Medicare, I had the Medicare insurance I had to pay for, but hers went up $570.
Because she's not 65 yet, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I understand.
can you give me a little insight about what I should look at? Because I had...
Let me ask you, here comes a 60... How long ago did you retire?
Probably about a year ago.
Okay, so you've been 65. You waited until you're 65 to retire, did you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're 66 now, give or take?
Yes.
Okay, and how old is your wife?
62.
Okay, so she's got a ways to go to get to be 65. One of the things that I would have done, and I wasn't there to help you, and your HR people, they should have said, how do I keep my wife in this plan and me on this plan, even when I qualify for Medicare, and make Medicare either primary or secondary for you only, and let you stay with that benefit from the utility? I'm not saying they could have done this or should have done this or might have been able to do this, but very often that benefit is there with these large companies, especially utilities, where you wouldn't have to all of a sudden be paying $500 a month just for your wife, plus having your money taken out of your Social Security check for Medicare, plus you have to get a supplement or the company. There should have been a company benefit is what I'm trying to say.
Well, actually, I still have the insurance for her with the same company through Cigna.
Right.
But once I was of Medicare age, her insurance went up that much.
I know. What I'm trying to say is, did you talk to your HR people when you retired at 65 about how you could keep the plan for both of you and keep the cost down and include Medicare in it? Some companies offer that, especially the big utilities or large corporations. Once you make a decision to get off of that, you get caught in this catch-22 that you're paying $500 a month for her for the next 3 years. I mean, that doesn't make your stomach very good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it comes out to about $700 a month for myself and my wife.
I know, and it's a killer because that's a large sum of money that you didn't have to. Anyway, I would go back to your HR people at work and say, hey, is there some way I can back this up? Go back to when I was working and keep the benefit. You know, if it's a large utility company like Florida Power or something, they may have a program that'll fit you better that you may not have been explained to at that time. It doesn't hurt you to explore it a little bit.
Okay.
And I feel bad for you because very often these companies have a benefit there to protect you and a spouse that keep the cost down because it's part of all the years you work for them and you earn that benefit and you've been, you know, technically part of your wages were paid into that. So I would definitely go back to them and say, hey, what if I had done this the right way? Can we back this up? Can we do anything to bring my cost down?
Okay. And the other thing was, and I'm sure I'm not the only ignorant one, but I was shocked that I had to pay income tax on my Social Security.
Well, once your income is over a certain amount, you now have to pay tax on your Social Security. But this year's tax code, which means the next year you're going to file, I think is going to make you a lot better. Under this new tax code, I think you're going to be a lot better off.
Okay.
All right, good luck, my man. Any way I can help you, we'll help you.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And you know what I'm saying, Alan?
Right.
Oftentimes these big companies have these plans to protect, but if you weren't explained it properly and you made a bad decision, you know, I've seen people stay on company plans and have Medicare as primary or secondary and let the spouse stay in, and the benefit, the cost is much, much less.
Just to finish the thought before the call, you're saying that you can basically sign an annuity today and it kicks in the next day and the family would be protected
get that income? Simple. There's no waiting clause. There's no nothing.
Okay.
Once you have the contract and the contract's issued and there's a date, like say it was today and you die tomorrow, the family gets the benefit, period.
That's
just that simple.
That's another tremendous benefit of a variable annuity then.
Well, they don't do this for people to fall down in parking lots, you know, but
well, you, you know, I mean, things happen, but
yeah, they
you
do
know,
it.
Joe, we only got a couple of minutes.
They actually do it for people to fall down the
parking lot.
I think
we should spend a minute or two just to thank our audience and wish everybody a happy, healthy Thanksgiving.
Listen, we thank God every day for the blessings we have, and I thank Him, Lord, for letting me be born in America. How lucky was that? I had nothing to do with that. In spite of all our politics, life is good. Jesus takes care of us the best He can. I've had, I feel guilty sometimes because God has been so good to me. Until I see Alan, then I don't feel so bad.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Joe, but in all seriousness, Joe, you know, you've been doing these shows since 2004, and the number of people that you and the team have helped, they're thankful for you and the team members, and I've become great friends with all of you, and just knowing you as people and what you care about most is people, and you help people, and you're Christians, you care about the Lord, you love the Lord, and you love people, and who better to work for than somebody that can help you like that?
Well, you know, Alan, I don't really love you, because you're not my type, but you're cute.
Well, thank you. Hey, you know, that's the first compliment you paid me since May 4th of 2016.
Well, listen, write this one down. Counting, I've got two more years to go before I have to do it again, right? We're down to what, 1 minute left here?
A little less than that.
So he's flashing these cards. See, Pastor Tom gave him these cards, and he just loves being able to use these cards.
It's one of the few things I can do well, Joe.
And well, you're good at flash. Well, remember, we used to have those cards in school, remember?
Flash cards, yeah.
Flash cards, yeah. Remember? I think every kid has a computer now.
David,
that's right.
David, we're thankful for you, too, for producing. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, and for you as well.
Yeah. So you having a big turkey day?
Yes, kind of.
Yeah.
Not a big turkey, but a medium.
But it's
size.
A turkey.
It's a turkey.
I love turkey leftovers. I make Thanksgiving dinner five and six times a year. I mean, the whole thing. Cranberry sauce, everything.
Mm.
Anyway, we're winding down, folks. I want to thank you so much for calling. Todd, thanks for your call. Everybody that we can help, that's the name of the game here from the group. And until next week, have a Thanksgiving, a wonderful Thanksgiving. Bye.
Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up, the Spirit in the sky. Whoa, set me up.
You've been listening to the Teen MarTech program. The Teen MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Teen MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Teen MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
And strength, the height and breadth.